This is the Podtacular episode 119. Oh my god, Halo Blowout for the week of July 12th, 2007.
Alright, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode, a very special episode of Podtacular,
very
the unofficial
special
Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm Sean Connery.
What up,
Sean? JVP.
And I'm Laird. Lol.
Lol, Laird.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Ruffle,
what's
welcome.
Up, dude? It's always a pleasure to have you here.
And it's always a pleasure to be back.
Any personal way, I just mean that it's always nice to have you, boy.
And it's a pleasure to always be here.
Right on.
Yeah, and you recently got a 360, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I finally broke down, you know. It was my present to myself for getting out of the hospital quicker.
Cool.
New TV too, man.
Oh, there you go. Right. Well, it's good. It's a good thing you got a 360 because the game that we are going to cover, a little game called Halo 3.
Yeah, what's this game called Halo 3 about, man? I've never heard of it before.
Another game called Halo War.
I think it has to do with angels. I don't know, man.
Yeah, or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's through PB&J, man. Hey, so
yeah.
So Laird, I understand you recently finished this Halo Unyielding 2, the sequel to the highly acclaimed Machinima series there.
Yeah, I did. You seem to enjoy it with all those messages you were sending me earlier today, saying it was so awesome. I mean, you said there were some things that need working on, but part 2's out at HaloUnyielding.com. I hope you guys will check it out. People seem to enjoy it, and it was a long endeavor that almost broke my spirit, but it didn't, and I look forward to doing the last part in the trilogy.
Very cool.
I don't want to ruin it, because some people don't like spoilers, so just go check it out. It's really good.
But it's 100% CG, right? I mean, it's 100% stuff that you've used existing models to, or created new models entirely, and actually animated and lit the entire scene and run the entire thing from scratch, right?
No, that's going to be the third part. The only things that's not CGI was basically the in-game Machinima footage and the cinematics, you know, we use for the two of the main characters. Everything else is CGI. That's correct.
Okay, yeah.
There are CGI characters actually intermingling with on-screen Machinima characters, so Halo 2 captured footage with CGI overlays and really cool kind of stuff that couldn't be done any other way that I could think of without mods or stuff. So, you know, we had to take the harder route to get the what we want.
How long did it take you to do it? Finish the entire production?
I kind of started hashing stuff out in October of last year, a little shortly after part one. We were pretty much done midway through April, but then I kind of started getting sick, and then I did get sick, so that kind of pushed back the release date. And then, you know, I got out and finished it, and agreed upon releasing it on Bungie Day, which kind of turned out to be a good thing. You know, everyone seemed to enjoy it when I released it then.
How long is the episode altogether?
It's 14 minutes long. That's 10 times as long as the last movie, actually. You know, the last one was... Well, not 10 times, sorry. It's 3 times as long. The last movie was only 5 minutes long.
So, oh, okay.
The third part is going to be 30 minutes long, and I can't give too many details about that. But I will say it's going to be 100% CGI. Like, completely everything CGI.
Okay.
Wow.
And
yeah, I know. Part two, I was supposed to audition for a part, and
you never got back to me, man.
Yeah, so I gotta make up for that and give it a try.
Sure, no worries.
Maybe I can do my Sean Connery impersonation.
You
or
can
something.
Be my prophet or something.
Well, Arnold or something.
Marine running through the background.
You are, all of you.
Yeah.
We can do that.
In a city that never sleeps.
Oh, God.
We will destroy your planet to glass.
Right.
It will take your candy and eat it.
So how did you guys feel about that new trailer that came out after E3?
Oh, man. We got that to talk about. We got so many things to cover.
Yep.
And,
we got lots.
This may very well be split into multiple shows. We'll see how it works out. But we're going to make sure to cover everything from the Halo fans' perspective that has been going on in the Halo universe in the past few days, which is pretty much like 50 shows worth of stuff. But we're not going to go that long, of course.
Yeah, and I will say this before we start. For everybody in the Podtacular community and for those people that are listening for the first time, which I hope is a lot, this show is really going to hit it once. It's going to, like, take off once Halo 3 is released, because I get a lot of messages and it's people from Microsoft and other websites and everything. They're all, like, looking forward to the type of coverage we're going to do and the type of shows we're going to, you know, get back to doing like we did with Halo 2. So for those people that, you know, have been inactive in the forums lately or whatever, you know, get ready, because it's going to get crazy around here.
It's the third coming of Podtacular is what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, it's going to, it's going to reinvigorate the entire community.
Yeah, man. I hear that. So why don't we, JB, why don't you tell us kind of what some of the things that we're going to talk about this show, considering that, you know, we have so much to cover, we might as well kind of give an overview.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the obvious, the new Halo 3 campaign trailer that was shown at the end of E3. There was a lot of secret stuff found in there, of course. I mean, it was funny. In a different website, I had posts the link to the forums where everyone was analyzing the trailer.
Yeah.
And one guy was like, man, all they're doing is talking about the color of his armor. I'm like, yo, that's what we're all about, man. Nothing slips through the Halo fans. I mean, it's not just Podtacular. So, video analysis that Joystick had did a little earlier today. And there's a Halo short. Well, it's going to be from now till the release of Halo 3, there's going to be a short film based on Halo called Halo Arms Race. And Joystick also did a little analysis or an opinion on the film. And future films in the series coming regularly between now and Halo, which I just read and I just said before.
just to clarify, I'm sorry, Joystick's opinion was on the video, was a video analysis of the trailer.
On the trailer, yeah. Right. Yeah, and then they just did a text opinion on the short trailer for Halo Arms Race, which I heard was actually one of the episodes. So then it was a 30-second video of Halo Wars footage, which is, the new real-time strategy game coming out based on the Halo universe. And, some new Halo War details, you know, that's been all over the internet. And there's new campaign stills from Bungie.net. New Halo 3 Xbox 360 coming out this year. It's green, green, like, you know.
It's marine green.
Like olive. It's like an olive green. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of the Halo 3 Zoom. And, there's been some detail about that, and we'll get into that during the show. Then there's Marathon, Bungie's original classic.
I'm looking forward to this one a whole
Randai.
Lot.
Yeah, coming to Xbox Live Arcade. And then, of course, there has been significant finds in progress in the Aris Halo 3 alternate reality game. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, today marks the return of the Bungie podcast with Luke Smith. So, make sure you guys go listen to that at Bungie.net. So, yeah, we got a lot going on today.
Wow. Definitely. A lot to cover. So, I guess, Lair, why don't you get us started with the first one, man?
First comment or the video or the
say
trailer
first comment.
Stuff? Oh, okay. Marooner says, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, roll off a copter, see oh my god, barbecue, etc. Shift 11, 111, exclamation mark.
Barbecue, steak, and rare. Hot dogs, you know, the works. Yeah,
that's right. Onions with a little mayo, you know, kind of thing.
Mayo, definitely.
Oh, man,
the
guess.
Then he says, I can't believe the outburst of awesomeness that got released. I am so excited for this, and I can feel my ripping up my eyes out of stuffing them in a box. Okay.
Wow, nice. Romantic.
I feel the same way.
You need help. May I suggest a car battery, a bucket of water, and some, you know, jumper cables.
Wow.
then he says, go to the treasure island, leave it there, and go back and get them when Halo 3 finally comes out. He also mentions Halo footage. I think the new gameplay looks very good. I 100% agree with him. What do you guys think on that?
Yeah. I mean, it looks great. I mean, it's one of the cool things I noticed is that they have civilians within a Halo game, and that's the first time ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's kind of like, I think what's cool about Halo is how well, one of the things that's cool is that they keep it on a very large scale. And I think mm-hmm. civilians serve to do that in a way that, you know, that relates to us so that we can see that, you know, there's a lot involved here and there's a lot riding on the success of Master Chief and the UNSC.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the Xbox 360 technology, they can do that now with the three cores. They can add different AI now. And, you know, it's funny because Killzone 2 has been
failure.
Shown.
I'm sorry.
It's been shown, you know, throughout different websites for the PS3. And, you know, obviously the comparisons are going to begin. You know, people are saying Killzone looks better than Halo 3. I mean, it's a totally different game. Killzone is going for somewhat of a realistic look, while Halo 3 is a sci-fi game, you know, and it's going for that direction. You know, everything's forerunner technology and stuff like that. Now we're seeing some wilderness and some water effects, you know, they added some realism to it. But you look, like you said, from all the scale of the game, it's enormous from just those clips. You can see, like, way in the horizon, and you see so much going on, you know. It's just not you and a few Marines. It's like things going on in the background in long distance.
Right. And, like, are you talking about, for instance, the smoke pillars coming up in the distance and being blown by the wind mm-hmm. and going off at a 45-degree angle when the Arbiter and Master Chief are looking out over the cliff face over probably the Ark, and there's off in the distance you can see all this stuff, like, on fire, and it's massive. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, just when you think that people are educated enough to know the difference between, you know, what's aimed towards, you know, the hardcore visual crowd, you know, the people that worry about nothing but graphics, and a game like, you know, the Halo series has always been about gameplay. And I mean, Halo, the original Halo was, I mean, at its time, it was a pretty good-looking game, but, you know, it wasn't all that, but just the scale of it and the amount of things you can do. And then, of course, Halo 2 was an upgrade, but it wasn't, you know, going to beat out a game like, you know, Chronicles of Riddick, you know, Escape from Butcher Bay or anything like that,
right.
You know, but it played a whole lot better, and until this day, people were playing it. So, I mean, you know, some people, you know, got to learn that, hey, it's doing just enough to show that it is a next generation version of Halo.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good opinion to me. Yeah, okay, so pretty much covers all the things I was going to say. yes. Marooner also says, I think that co-op needs to be played as in Halo 3. The second player will have to play as the Arbiter. I think would be very cool and make much more sense rather than two Master Chiefs and only one in the short vids in the campaign. I guess it means the cutscenes. Remember, like, in Halo 1 or 2, when, you know, you show up and it's just one Spartan instead of two. I mean, that would make sense. I think it would be kind of cool to play as the Arbiter, but personally, I'd rather see more Spartans. We know there's more alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we know... I just think it would be cooler to... I mean, the Arbiter is cool, but, I mean, I wouldn't mind, but I mean, if you're playing four-player, I'd rather one player sends a Master Chief, the other person's the Arbiter, and then you have the choice. Can you be a Marine, Johnson,
yeah,
you know,
Johnson,
or
the keys?
Well, not keys, but I mean, you know, well, maybe, I mean, but you know, I'd rather have, like, you know, be one of the side characters. If I can't be the main character, I'd rather be a Marine or hell, one of those, even those dock workers or something like that, or a grunt, you know, or an elite, you know, just like the standard.
Yeah.
Or no, you know, I think it would be cool to play as the Half-Jaw, the Special Ops Commander, whatever his name is. You know, you have, like, your team of four if there's four-player co-op, right? So you got Johnson, you got the Half-Jaw, you've got the Arbiter, and you got the Master Chief. How cool would that be? You're just rolling through the levels. Just cleaning them all out with all, like, the big characters, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's pretty much, I mean, we all know Bungie's history. They don't show anything without having some kind of meaning behind it, so obviously it looks like you're pretty much going to be the Arbiter in co-op, kind of like, you know, Marcus Fenix and
Dom,
yeah, in Gears of War. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it would be cool to, like, choose different characters, but hey, I mean, obviously in Halo 2, the Arbiter was a big part of the game and the storyline, so it only makes sense to have him as a playable character.
Sure. If there's no more comments on that, his last comment is, I just have to say the grunts look even uglier and meaner than in Halo 1 combat. Evolved in Halo 2, the red eyes and the strange textures make them look grotesque. What do you guys have to say about that? He's saying the grunts, not the brutes or whatever.
I didn't particularly notice that, but then again, you know, they're aliens. I mean, are they supposed to look, you know, realistic, like, in the sense of human realistic, or are they supposed,
like,
to look...
like Ewoks or something?
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's a giant... Care Bear coming towards me. Let's shoot it in the face, right?
Dude, and then they...
It's supposed to look like Gary Coleman.
Oh, God. What you talking about, Willis?
And the Care Bear jumps on a freaking stormtrooper and takes it down. It's like a trained veteran that's been trained on, like, the most intense world ever and everything, and he's just like,
I'm gonna attack you when I'm a teddy bear!
Oh, that just sounded like the greased-up deaf guy from Family Guy.
Oh, man, that was funny.
I'm a teddy bear! I'm a teddy bear! I'm gonna kill you!
Oh, man. And to go back a little bit, when he said it would have been cool to play alongside different Spartans, there's a part in the Pelican where...
That's an ODST, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wearing it looked like the upgraded...
Close quarters combat battle. Me and my friend, the other guy that does 3D art for 3D Machinima stuff, he's one of the Heretic guys, and now he works with me. We were arguing over this. I said, it looks like the close quarter combat. We had like a half an hour debate on Skype. I was just like, dude, we're the only way we're going to find out and be right is, you know, to play the game. I said, just leave it till then. But, it could go either way. It could be the close quarter combat or the drop trooper. You're talking about when the Pelicans come out of the ship, right?
And
they fly down.
Master Chief is standing behind them.
Yeah, and Johnson's to the left of them, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so that answers that. Yes, folks, we are geeks.
we're the coolest geeks in the Halo community.
Yep.
We're the geekiest cool people in the Halo community.
That's right.
Uber geeks.
So where were we here?
G. Lewis. Right. Someone's doing G. Lewis.
All right, so G. Lewis, G. Money Lewis, shoes no laces. he goes on to talk about the beginning of... Microsoft's E3 press conference, how they had a band playing the Halo 2 theme song, and something about Peter Moore trying to play the guitar, but he goes back to the point at hand, and he goes, the new console looks cool, talking about the Halo 3 edition 360, downside is only 20 gigabytes hard drive. He's saying because other exclusive is planned to put into the package, the cost would have been just too high. Okay, to add another 120 gig hard drive. So he goes, Halo Arms Race was hit or miss. At first, I thought it was a trailer of some sort of upcoming movie, but that has been room for so long. But the ending kind of gave it away with the Halo 3 finish the fight endings. Later, Bungie announced that it was a new short film, it's just the first of many. To say things bluntly, the short was not all that good. I can really tell why they did not show too much action or actual fighting, because the one little firing scene where the Marine looked dazed as the fake-looking plasma blast ignites next to him. It was really dumb-looking. I was hoping Weta could have done better, but it looks like Neil, the director dude, messed things up. Just to jump in there for a second.
Yeah, please do.
I forgot Neil's last name.
Blokamp, I think.
Oh, Blokinkoff.
Yeah, there we go. He does shows for sci-fi, so that art direction kind of is reminiscent to some of his shows that he's.
You know what? I gotta disagree with G. Lewis. If you've ever seen the movie that got him noticed by Peter Jackson and Bungie, where it was like some kind of futuristic robot cop video over in Africa, and he blended it. It was just like an awesome movie. Like, I mean, the direction was just so cool. Mm-hmm. And literally, it was like a. Have you ever seen the Army of One kind of commercial? Well, it was kind of like that, but it was like this robotic police officer that was in a danger zone where you didn't have to put police officers, and, you know, you could repair this guy, and he could be used to, like, you know, route out terrorists and go into danger zones. I mean, it showed him, like, I don't want to make it sound cheesy, looking like the $6 million man where he was running on the treadmill and all that, but that's the kind of stuff they had him doing.
It wasn't Solo with Mario Van Peebles now, was it?
No.
Because that was the total piece of monkey
No, this was one of the films that I think that got him the job, and, you know, I disagree with you, Lewis. I agree the effect at the very end, the bolt or whatever, and the Marine, I agree with that, but everything else was, like, really well done in the Halo arms race.
It's funny, because when Peter Moore was talking, and he starts talking about Halo 3 and stuff like that, the whole franchise, I kind of knew something Halo-related was going to come up, and then you see, like, this, like, you know, in the very beginning, you see some kind of structure with heat in the background. I'm like, oh my god, is that the Halo single player graphics? Then I'm looking and I see, you know, like warthogs being built and
exactly
marine helmets and the original pistol. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is some sort of like commercial for Halo 3 itself, the game. Like, you know, and I was telling this to Fumo Jive the other day, like, you know, like, you know, the people in the video itself were people representing us, you know, like, we were the ones gearing up to finish the fight. But then I found out, obviously, that it was a little mini-series. And, you know, the director, he's known for his distinctive art style. So I would give it a chance before I call it, I don't know, a miss.
Okay, you know what it really reminded me of, that whole Halo arms race? Have you guys seen the movie Aliens?
Yes.
You remember when the Marines are gearing up and everything, they're going, you know, they're putting their guns, they're getting ready, you know, strapping their armor on, you know, they go to the drop ship and everything, and then you got Sergeant Apone doing his whole speech. That's what it reminded me of while I was watching that. And I was just like, that made me older. And this is just a personal comment, you know, to G. Lewis. G. Lewis, if you think special effects are easy and 3D CGI is easy, try doing it yourself before, you know, kind of like bagging on people. I mean, Neil Bokum and Weta, they do this stuff for a living. You don't, dude.
I gotta disagree with both you guys and side with G. Lewis, actually, on this one. I think this actually goes to show how much the Halo community is kind of like one way or another on this. You know, some people are like big into it and some people aren't. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I don't like sci-fi stuff that goes on the Sci-Fi Channel and things like that, and like Heroes and that kind of art style and general like film style, just it really turns me off, and I don't really like the way that it ends up being. But I think that's just kind of like a personal preference on the way that you know the way that I enjoy kind of like film stuff. I really think the way this was done was extremely cheesy, especially at the end, but I think pretty much everybody agrees on that, that, like, the laser blast and the guy doesn't even react to a laser blast right next to him, and he's just kind of standing there like, I'm so badass, I can have a laser blast freaking blow up next to my foot and I don't even notice it. You know?
Was that
and
even a guy, like, or was it a mannequin?
What was even the point of that, you know? Why was, you know, what was the point of the whole movie in the first place? But, you know, what was the, and all the stuff with the text going by, and, you know, where is that text supposed to be? You know, I mean, this is supposed to be, you know, Halo is supposed to be a believable thing that in the past, Halo 2 and Halo 1 really did a good job at suspending disbelief and making you think that, you know, you could really be there with the way that the Halo Bible has been followed, you know, to where everything it actually has a reason for happening all the way back. You know, that kind of stuff is really what, you know, brought it into your mind to the way that you could really relate to the characters. You could feel like you are the Master Chief. You could feel like this is really happening. You have to save the planet from, like, certain doom. And, you know, I think that kind of thing was just really ignored in that. And I just don't want that to happen again. And I sure hope that they raise the bar next time.
So, yeah, we don't know exactly what direction is going to go. I mean, let's face it, you know, that Microsoft and Bungie, this is their baby. So they're not going to just allow anybody to throw garbage out there. So, I mean, we all know how they are. It could have purposely gone in a cheesy looking direction, you know, to make it look more, I don't know, I guess less theatrical and more, you know, like a home video type look. I don't know. I mean, because that's what it, at one point I'm like, man, that looks like a 1980 Escape from New York costume the guys wear, you know?
Yeah, the little sunglasses and everything on
yeah,
the helmet.
So, I mean, you know, I'd say let's see where they go with this.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, I guess, some kind of Isle of Bees type, you know, entertainment.
Actually,
the actual game comes out.
What I keep reading on the internet is this is some kind, you know, it's the internet, right? It's always right, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I keep reading that it's some kind of thumb in the eye to Fox and Universal kind of thing, you know, saying this is what could have happened if you guys hadn't have backed off. That's what I keep reading. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you guys think about that?
I sure hope they improve it if that's the case, dude, because if, you know, I think most people would say if this was actually a Halo movie, no, this is not
close to
reaching the bar. But I mean, and you know, granted, it's the bar has been set unusually high, but still, it does not even get close to reaching close to the bar, you know, because there's no story or anything like that, and I'm not, you know, I'm judging it based on the story too. But even the even the graphics, like Joystick, for instance, their response to it was saying that the CGI was very differentiated from the live action graphics. It wasn't like kind of a Lord of the Rings thing where it was very integrated.
Yeah.
You know, you really
That's why I said it was kind of purposely done that way, because you couldn't tell like what was CGI and what was
kidding.
When you went, I mean, let's think about it. Let's remember who's doing this. It's not like amateurs. So I mean, they wouldn't just throw anything out there that's gonna destroy their reputation. I'm sure there's, you know, some weird reason behind it. I mean, that's the only thing I can say to you. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll be, you know, like an hour long miniseries that will have some kind of, you know.
Because they never said how many of these episodes it was going to be, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
an ARG isn't the new Isle of Bees. I mean, it's awesome and all, but I really think this Halo Arms Race is the new Isle of Bees, too.
Isle of Bees, yeah. And who knows? Maybe it'll be... I'm sure you'll be able to watch them on the internet, but maybe they'll have them on high def as well on the Xbox 360.
Well, yeah, it is. On the 360, you can get the first one already.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, we know that, you know, we also have Iris going on. We're going to talk more about that later as it comes up, which is really heating up, and it's really getting exciting, definitely. You know, but this is kind of another avenue that they're exploring, and it's, you know, hey, you know, this is the first time it's ever been done for Bungie, and, you know, we're giving them I think we're all cutting them some slack either way, whether we liked it or not, and it sounds like we're all kind of, some people liked it, some people didn't, but I hope either way we're all kind of cutting them some slack and saying, hey, I hope the next one's better, but this one, you know, is cool and all, but I hope it improves in the future.
Yeah, I'll judge it based on the story. I mean, if it has a good story, a subplot leading up to Halo 2, I mean, Halo 3, like I Love Bees did, you know, it kind of talked about, you know, the Spartan 1 program and, you know, certain things. And they did mention, you know, the happenings in space and everything. This one goes, like, directly into, you know, maybe it, I mean, now that I think about it, maybe it is some kind of sequel to Isle of Beasts. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
well, just the whole scene. Okay, I mean, you're right. Some of it was cheesy, but the one scene that really made me like feel like this was gonna be something big and awesome was when the Pelican came up out of the bay, and you know that. I mean, that did not look cheesy to me. I mean, at the end, yeah, it did, but that one scene kind of like almost won me over. Like, this is gonna be something big.
Yeah, because at first I thought it was for Halo Wars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it kind of reminds me of Command and Conquer 3, where they had the real life full motion videos. So I was like, it's, you know, I guess it's Halo Wars, but no.
It really did kind of remind me that of Command and Conquer 3 full motion video, mm-hmm. because the way the video was just really didn't feel like a Halo kind of thing going on, you know? I think a lot of it was. I mean, the camera work was a little sketchy, like with zooming in on the pulling the leg patch down was like, oh, that was cheese, man. They could have done 1,000 times better than that. Come on. I was like, don't need it, man. It was like, no, it's like, dude, it's like a cheesy freaking kung fu movie where like they do a punch and it's like, whoosh, no, punch doesn't make that noise. Come on now. You know, they could have made it. Yeah. You know? Yeah. The difference between how hard he pulled and like how metallic the thing looked and how loud the sound was like, come on, man. Yeah. But you know, you were mentioning Laird, the pelican that came down, right?
The thing
The pelican that came down was good. It looked a little CGI, but what really tipped it off for me was the way the guy was raising his hands and moving his arms, like pulling the pelican down. You know what I'm saying? Like the guy.
No, I'm not talking about the model with like the plastic. I'm talking
about going across the production line.
No. The loading bay, the loading bay, where the guy was like walking in front, and then it came up from the bay below.
Okay.
The only thing that kind of looked a little kind of CGI was the guy that was walking on the railing in front of it. He was just walking too kind of slowly, and you know, I can totally attribute to that with the whole making guys walk and skeletons and all that. My ODSTs don't really walk. I mean, they walk, but they walk like they have a stick up their ass. So you know, I can understand, you know, how it's kind of hard to do that kind of stuff.
But well, I can understand, but at the same time, you know, we're talking about, like, the
big companies that I know.
We're talking about Microsoft being behind this, you know, Microsoft Gaming Studios. It's like, if you're going to do it right. Otherwise, really, don't do it at all, you know, because don't you guys agree? Don't do it if it's, like, half-assed, because, like, the way that the, like I was talking about when the Pelican comes down from the ceiling and the guy's directing it down with his with these lights in his hand. That guy's obviously not mo-capped, you know, motion capture. He's obviously like 3D animated, and it's very clear to the, you know, to anyone looking at it, like this guy is not an actual person. So I think that kind of stuff is just kind of like, we need to really like be able to suspend the disbelief, especially with this kind of money that's being thrown at this kind of stuff, or not at all, because you know, that's the way that Halo was done in the past, and we really need to keep up with that bar.
And hey, I mean, if you look at, you know, what they did with Isle of Bees, I mean, it was strictly audio. I mean, even that was, you know, well done. But, I mean, the only thing I can personally say is, you know, that hopefully that the story itself is going to really make up for the art direction. And, of course, you know, everybody has opinions, so people are going to love it or hate it, so... We'll just have to wait.
I mean there's a lot of people hating on Halo 3 because it doesn't have the Halo 1 pistol in it, right? You know, so it's like, you know, wait, you know, well, they're already complaining, you know, that it doesn't have the Halo 3 pistol, but you know what?
Yeah.
Anyways, it says that they've already got their copy of Halo 3 pre-ordered. You watch. And the, you know, any complainers, anybody that says Halo 3, I mean, I'm not saying Halo 3 is the next godsend, but, you know, they're wrong about it, you know. About it. Sorry, I'm supposed to say Booted. Canadian. But, you know, Sorry?
But it's funny, though. And now that you mentioned, you know, like, the next godsend, it's, you know, I mean, I'm an Xbox MVP. I get, you know, games sent to me every once in a while.
Yep.
And still, it's almost a chore for me to pick up another game and play it. Like, I got to sit there and look through the games I got and go, what do I want to play? But when the Halo 3 beta was out,
that's all you played.
An hour early before I went to work, just to get online and play.
I hear that.
And then I get home and I would play. I mean, so there's something to that, you know. There's
I'm not saying it's not going to be a great game. Yeah, it's and people that are comparing Killzone with the graphics to Halo 3. You know what? Forget graphics. I mean, obviously the game can't look craptacular or anything, but if the gameplay's not there, I'd rather play the game that might be a visually a little less, as long as it's got the gameplay. Games aren't about graphics. They're about gameplay, story, and stuff like that. It's not always about the graphics. And you know, I think Halo 3 is going to crush everything. Mark my words, it'll crush everything.
I totally agree with you, about games not being about graphics, because, dude, I just got like a whole bunch of Xbox One games that I've been wanting to get, like some of like the top games for Xbox One. And I'll tell you, man, I've been on Xbox One for a long time now, like only Xbox One, because there's games that are much better than 360 games because they don't focus just on the graphics. They focused on the gameplay elements, you know, and the story and things like that, that really get you into the game and get you into to the reason, you know, gamers are into games in the first place. You know, it's not just because of like we want to see some pretty stuff, you know, because there's pretty stuff all over the place and, you know, outside of the gaming medium.
Yeah,
but you know, the kind of like immersion that goes on with gameplay. And you know, I'm glad that Bungie is really cognizant of that and really pays attention to getting the gameplay elements right and not just the graphics that enhance that.
Yeah, because you look at Gears of War now,
we all know how Fumo feels about that.
Yeah, I know, but it's a beautiful game.
Yes, it is. I agree.
But you look at the full spectrum, and in reality, it's a close combat game. Everything's closed in, so you don't have to worry about 30, you know, AI characters fighting in one spot with spaceships and environmental, you know, scenery going on, like fire or rain, I mean, and sunlight coming through, because the whole game is during the nighttime. So, I mean, it's unfair to rate the two. It's the different art direction.
Right.
Kind of like Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six Vegas doesn't have the best graphics either, but there's so much you can do in it, and it's a you know, you can put your own face, you know, they got to compensate for that. You know, it's difference in visual styles, and you know, people got to realize that. And Halo, like I said earlier, has never been a graphical powerhouse.
I mean, here's another example. You've got, I mean, we're kind of going, I'm kind of going to go off tangent real quickly. But I mean, Dead Rising, I mean, graphically, it's pretty good. But compared to some of the later 360 games, not so, I mean, it stands out there. But, I mean, I've only rented it. I'm going to be picking up shortly. I mean, it is an older title, but I mean, I was playing it at
my zombies, man.
I was playing it at my friend's house just to try and find all the achievements for hours. Just literally, I played it for hours and hours and hours, and I could just never get bored of beating up the zombies, picking up any object, beating them to death with it. I mean, that you can pick up anything. I just thought that was awesome. The only thing that I thought would have been better is if you could, like, pick up a zombie and cut off its arm and beat some zombies to death with its own arm or something like that.
Dude, you can do that. I'm serious.
You can. God.
Yeah, you could. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't been able to do that then.
Yeah,
okay, well, I'm going to try that then.
You can.
let's get back to G. Lewis.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get back to actually the next one because, like, everybody says, you know, a few different things. So maybe we could just make sure we cover everything and we're good. Yeah. So thanks, G. Lewis.
Yeah, thank you, Julius. All right.
Your turn, Fumo.
All right, so on to, let's see, Aero Strike, who says, hey, Aero here, just wanted to say having the Arbiter there helping out the Master Chief is an awesome addition, not only in gameplay, but also in story. Before, there were two rival warriors whose races were trying to destroy each other, now that they're relying on each other to survive. It was kind of showed near the end of Halo 2, but now Bungie is really exploring this in Halo 3. Plus, with online-offline co-op, the other player can be the Arbiter instead of another Spartan, like we were just talking about, that isn't involved in the story at all. Keep up the great work, and shout-outs to Team iStrike C17. Right on, man. Yeah, so the Arbiter, what'd you guys think of that with the Halo 3, the single-player footage?
The mini turret? Okay. Yeah, it was, you know, a matter of time, you know, before we saw exactly what the Arbiter was going to be up to, and hey, like I said earlier, he was an integral part of Halo 2, and obviously you just can't leave him out of it, and, you know, it kind of makes sense to have him as a playable character. And so, I'm sure they're going to have different abilities as well.
The question is it going to be an intertwining kind of game like it was with Halo 2? You know, where you play as the Master Chief and you play it, or is the Arbiter, you know, off doing his own thing, you know, and joins you in certain levels? And
what would be cool is if you can complete the game as either the Arbiter or the Master Chief.
And it would have, like, different endings
Something? Or maybe
different cutscenes?
The same ending,
maybe lead
really,
up to
right?
the same ending.
Yeah.
Lead up to the same ending. You know, like, in the end, you have to, you know, team up regardless. Well,
do any of you guys remember back a little while, a couple of interviews or a few months ago, I think it was Frankie was saying that, or it was a Bungie.net kind of art news post, where if you had to save someone, and if you didn't, the gameplay would change differently. If you didn't save that person or get to that objective in time, the game would become harder. That person or character wouldn't be able to help you later on the game, and, you know, gameplay would change. What do you think of ideas like that? Say you at a certain level, the Arbiter is, like, captured, and if you don't save him, he dies. How do you think that would affect
the game? Becomes a whole lot difficult.
That's good cool. for that, man. You know, like, dynamic kind of gameplay that really, you know, that's one of those things that goes further to suspend disbelief, you know, to make you feel like that, you know, this is actually a dynamic moment that's going on. I'm not just going through a path that's, there's no sidesteps, you know, it makes you feel like, it makes you feel more so like that this is depends on what I decide to do and depends on how I do it that, you know, things end up. So
yeah, not just a run and gun game where, you know, this, you know, everything's linear and, you know, get to this location before the bomb detonates, you know. No, you know, if they do have that type of, you know,
well, I just remembered penalty. It. That's the reason I mentioned it. So, I mean, you know, I just kind of threw that out as an example. If the Arbiter gets, say, captured or something, you know, and he's killed or you don't get to him in time, how would that change the game or the story or whatever? That's what I was kind of going after. Like, I think...
I mean, I don't know if you remember when we had Luke Smith on, and I had posed a question to Luke about how he would end Halo 3, and he said it would be cool if you had... You, as the Arbiter, had to kill Master Chief off. Remember that one, Fumo?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think he was in talks with Bungie at that time, so I wouldn't put any weight to that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, some kind of consequence for your actions would be really great. And, you know...
It would just help to make you feel like you're really in a vital struggle to save the planet, you know, and save the human race. You know, from total destruction, you know, that kind of thing just puts you in the character more to where you're really in that situation and you really it just brings the drama to real life, you know.
Puts you in that game. You feel like this is really happening. I've got to do it. We're screwed if we don't.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Get to the blue chopper.
Yeah, because you need that sense of...
Unlike plasma explosions happening right next to you and you're not even noticing them. Yeah.
As long as you're not the kind from Halo Wars
right?
Race.
You need that sense of desperation, and it's hard to capture it in games nowadays. There are some games that do a good job of you know, absorbing you into the game. And Halo, the original Halo was like that. You know, Halo 2 was a little bit of a let off, but still it had its moments. Yeah. And, you know, I got a feeling that Halo 3 is going to really be epic.
Dude, that's a good word, actually, desperation, because that's really what it feels like from Halo 1 all the way through, man. You feel like in a desperate situation that this is no joke, you know? You really gotta make this happen, or the whole human race is just obliterated, so... Yeah, so let's move on to the next one here.
Yeah, let's keep going. Duffman. All right, Duffman X18, he says, first off, let me say how amazed I was with the... all the Halo info that was released. Halo 3, Halo Wars, Arms Race. Just amazing. I'll go first into Halo 3. Graphics look awesome. That is the gameplay. Having the Arbiter fighting at Master Chief's side in co-op, brilliant. The animations for boarding vehicles look more fluid. And the new Scarab looks more Covenant. Miranda and Cortana look different, and so does the Arbiter a little bit. Also, it seems the Master Chief confronts the Arbiter as he shoves the pistol into her mouth. Very interesting. Also, at the beginning of the trailer, it sounds like a new prophet, as it's too raspy to be a brute, truth. Too deep to be the truth. Sorry for jumping all over the place. Halo Wars. From what little I've seen about this gameplay-wise, it looks sweet. My only problem is that, like most RTSs, real-time strategies, the infantry units, grunts, elites, etc., are bigger than the vehicles. But hey, that's the only flaw, and I'm fine. Arms Race, the next best thing to a Halo movie. The series of shorts created by Neil Blomkamp, is that how you spell it? Looks amazing. I heard that the majority of what was shown was CG, which is pretty impressive. I can't wait for more episodes. It's truly a good time to be a Halo fan. Yeah, he mentions the part where in the single-player trailer where Master Chief holds the gun underneath.
Up through his jaws.
Yeah.
If you actually watch that scene... in slow motion, you actually see the Master Chief knocks a Marine aside right before he shoves the gun in the Arbiter's mouth. It looks like the Marine is actually trying to protect the Arbiter.
It was one of the
video analysis things I was looking at.
It
shows the Marine like get swatted aside by the Master Chief, like pimp hand, front or back, you know? Nice. That's your choice.
Yeah. It's an interesting story. I mean, you know, you got two, you know, enemies who have to team up for the same reason.
It's like Batman and the Joker working together.
If you cross and me, of I'll course, blow it's going to be.
You are a demon. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's going to be a little subplot with those two, you know, how they're going to. You know, coincide with each other throughout the story. So it's going to be, I mean, that part kind of proves that, yeah, there's still conflict, you know.
Yeah.
And distrust.
It's kind of cool because it shows that there's an uneasy relationship between them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought that was the Gravemind talking. But then I was like, nah, that sounds like a Forerunner. And, you know, like Laird said, it sounds like truth.
Yeah.
I mean, the
Sean Connery.
Ah.
You are all vermin.
We're going to
Prophet, sorry.
Ice baby.
Oh, God. Quick, cold. Do him in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, man. Yes.
I mean, just in case you didn't know it.
Oh man, I am a prophet. Anyway.
Right, moving on. Oh, Halo Wars. He mentioned that as well, right? Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that 30-second footage?
Briefly. I just thought it could have been a little longer. You know, I'm kinda still iffy on that. Can an RTS work on a 360? We'll have to wait and see, you know.
An RTS working on the 360, I gotta say yes, in general, because, I mean, I've been playing Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-Earth 2, I've played a lot of that game, and I really, really enjoy it, and, you know, I haven't gotten way into RTSs on the PC, and yet I've gotten into it big time on the 360. So, you know, I've got to say, you know, RTSs on the 360, definite thumbs up. Whether Halo Wars will go on, you know, obviously that's, you know, to say whether in the future that's going to happen. But, you know, the footage looks good, but, you know, it's an RTS. It's from a higher perspective. It's supposed to be that way. We'll see how it happens in gameplay, because really that's where RTSs stand out. You know, graphics, great and all, but ultimately gameplay is what really makes RTSs especially stand out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to have some success.
Right on.
Ta Reaper, that's T3H Reaper says, "Hello, Reaper here. I'm somewhat of an old listener and new member of the forums. I just wanted to share some of my opinions and speculation on the Halo 3 screenshots and E3 trailer. In the trailer, it shows numerous times the Arbiter and the Chief working together. In episodes 103 and 106, I forgot to talk about the possibility of online co-op. As it seems to be, it might be possible. The host would be the Chief and the other person would be the Arbiter. Also on the topic of co-op, do you think they will have achievements for playing co-op in Gears of War? What do you guys think about that?"
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, yes.
It seems like an obvious, you know, movement to go to.
You know, multiplayer, especially co-op, that seems to be the theme for most 360 games coming out now. And co-op, you know, cooperative play is a big deal to a lot of people. I mean, you see games now coming out with achievements for cooperative play now. Even like a game like Rainbow Six, if you finish the entire story mode, you know, in co-op mode, as an achievement. So, you know, it seems to me that next generation, besides graphics and hardware, is also, you know, going into some type of interaction, you know, with other people, obviously. So yeah, this was like a no-brainer, you know, with the Halo 3 cooperative play.
I gotta say, man, co-op is my favorite way of playing games, because you get the best of both worlds. You get the the challenge of a computer opponent, and at the same time you get to play with a friend, and at the same time you don't have the detrimental thing going on where you're always competing with your friend, you know, and you have, you know, angst that's built up between the two of you. You know, that's the way I like to play. I'd rather play that than I would play multiplayer, even with where it's a competition going on, you know, unless it's kind of a friendly thing going on, which a lot of times is the way Halo works, which is one of the things I like about Halo. But anyway, I digress. Back to, you know, co-op, to where that's what I liked about Gears, is that you could just hop in and out of co-op all the time, and the single player with anyway, the co-op. To where
I just recently finished Gears on Insane.
Yeah.
Well, I just beat it on Hardcore last night with my friend.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's an amazing game on co-op. Multiplayer is a little different, but, I mean, we all know how Kumo Jad loves
his
multiplayer. But, yeah, I mean, co-op, I mean, to me, it will, you know, obviously the different type of game between Halo 3 and Gears of War, and I can't wait, man. I can't wait to see what's in store.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. All right.
Fellas.
Oh,
well, before we move on, actually, let's wrap this episode up. Thanks for listening, guys. This is going to be the end of this episode, but we're going to continue this on the next one. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be coming up real shortly. Keep an eye out on podtacker.com. We're going to get to that. So let's wrap it up here. Be sure to send in your comments, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We're dependent on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send stuff for this next week's show.
And call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. I leave a Halo-related message. Play these back regularly on the Customs and Caudlin show, which will return eventually.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out the forums. There's a lot of buzz about Halo 3 and other stuff. And remember, buy a Buzz Cola. It helps us out.
Thanks to all the people who contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. We couldn't do it without you.
And be sure to check out the other shows that are a part of the Gamercast Network at GamercastNetwork.com. You will find other shows such as Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer Radio, and Gamercast Network's very own video gaming show.
Well, until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
And I'm Laird.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on eating Twinkies with vanilla ice cream.
Yes!
Twinkies to vanilla ice cream?
I don't know where that came from.
There's only one thing left to say.
So, should I say lol the fuck up there or whatever, and then Z, oh my god? Or should I just read how it says it? Improvising? That's right.
Yeah,
Rolfcopter.
You improvise it, buddy.
Alright, I can do that. This is a Podtacular episode 119. Z, oh my god, Halo Blowout for the week of July 12th, 2007. Your host, Fumo Jive, JVB, and me, Laird. Whoops.
That's alright. That's alright.
Who else did that? Somebody else did that one time.
Yeah, I know, but we kept it there. Anyway, outtakes.
Their opinion's gonna go right out the... excuse my language. Right out the window. The minute they pick up Halo 3 and start playing...
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Kids are listening. You know, it's gonna go right out the window, you watch. They'll be there opening day, pre-order. Anybody that says Halo 3 is going to suck, that plays Halo 1 or 2, is full of shit. They've already got... They've got the pre-order copy.
Killing me, man.
Sorry, dude. They've got the pre... It's only PG-13 if I say the F-bomb a couple times, remember.
Okay, there we go.
You can say any other swear word as long as you don't say the F-word.
Whatever, man. We're still going to get the explicit tag if we get this, so I'm going to have to edit all this out now.
Aww.
GamerCastNetwork.com.